It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
All right, good morning. Good Monday morning to all of you on this December the 11th. And the reason I'm not starting with a clip this morning is we're just getting word there was an explosion near New York City's Port Authority during the rush hour this morning, prompting evacuations on multiple subway lines. The New York Police Department has confirmed to Fox News they are investigating reports of an explosion of unknown origin. Police tweeted, ACE subway lines are being evacuated. NYC Office of Emergency Management also tweeted that there was police activity near West 42nd Street between 8th and 9th Avenues and advised computers to expect delays. Well, of course, we don't know anything more about it than that, but I imagine, methinks, it might have something to do with what happened last week. And to take us back into last week, the announcement the president made on moving the capital of Israel, moving our embassy to the capital of Israel, which is Jerusalem. Let's listen to what the president said.
This is a long overdue step to advance the peace process and to work towards a lasting agreement.
All right, so here's the thing. The embassy has been needed to be in Jerusalem for a number of years. We voted, I think the Congress voted in the 90s, to move it, the embassy, to where the seat of government for the Israeli people was, and that was Jerusalem. So it's really not that big a deal, but of course the opposing forces have gone apoplectic. And let me just say that Iran issued threats. Top officials in Iran are calling for violent reprisals on the United States and Israel. There have been attacks in Israel. I don't know. They've not been very successful so far. I think one soldier has been stabbed. That's my recollection. I'm not sure what his condition is this morning. But there have been attacks, but the Israelis have managed to fend them off pretty well. They have incredible defense mechanisms. It really is incredible what the Israelis have been able to do. But also the Muslim Brotherhood is calling for violent reprisals. And so let me just read some of the words to you. Top officials in Iran said on Wednesday, the Zionists will be hit harder as a result of the U.S. recognition of Jerusalem. Similarly, the Iranian president Hassan Rouhani proclaimed that the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, a Jewish and Muslim holy site that contains two religiously important mosques, will always belong to Islam and Muslims and the Palestinians. Of course, that is ridiculous. I don't think you can go up there anymore. I had the good fortune of being able to go up in the Temple Mount when I was in Jerusalem the first time. And, of course, there's this big mound of rock, which is just incredible, and that's the place which the Jews believe that Abraham sacrificed Isaac. Well, of course, Islam didn't even begin until 700 A.D., then they claimed suddenly that their own version of that story took place in that spot, that angels ascended and descended to Muhammad in that spot. And it's like the Burger King McDonald illustration I gave you last week about McDonald's used to always do the research on where the best location was, and then Burger King would go in and build a shop next door without having to do the research. Wherever there is a church or a site, a holy site in Israel, the Muslims made sure to go and stamp their mark, but they were late to the party and they were never the originators. And so it's just silly. This has belonged. Jerusalem predates Islam by lots of time. And so this is what Rouhani also said. Quds, which is Jerusalem to him, belongs to Islam and Muslims and the Palestinians, and there is no place for new adventures of the global arrogance of the United States. That's what he said, according to Farsi Language Press. Now, here's the twist on this. The Muslim Brotherhood, of course, has been designated a terrorist organization by Egypt a long time ago. They cannot believe that we allow the Muslim Brotherhood to run free in this country. Remember that CARE, The Council on American Islamic Relations is the PR arm of the Muslim Brotherhood. Yes, they're treated as though that, you know, that after these attacks, like in the nightclub in Florida and the attacks in San Bernardino, they consult CARE. They consult these members of the Muslim Brotherhood to see what they think. They actually took people from the mosque affiliated with the Muslim Brotherhood into interviews with suspects after the killings in that Florida nightclub. So, but yet, under President Obama, no, we can't declare the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist organization. That would be terrible. And remember that people that have made their way, like Keith Ellison, into the Congress are affiliated with the Muslim Brotherhood. But I digress. And now there's a move underfoot. Now that the Muslim Brotherhood has been, well, one more time, has shown very clearly their goals and their sympathies, especially on the issue of Jerusalem, there is a move underfoot in Congress now to ramp it up. We need to declare them a terrorist organization, and that's going to be, man, that will be World War III, I'm telling you right now. All right, but that's what's happening, this explosion in New York City. I would imagine it's related to what the president did. Nikki Haley was on Fox, with Chris Wallace on Sunday, and I wanted you to hear her interaction with Chris Wallace. I thought she handled the questions masterfully. Let's listen.
Ambassador, how does recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and starting to move our embassy there specifically, how does that advance the peace process?
Well, first of all, you have to, you know, just say what's realistic. I mean, Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. That's why the parliament's there, the Supreme Court's there, the president and the prime minister are there. So we have always, the United States has always had its embassy in the capital city. And so Israel should be no different. There have been presidential candidates on both sides of the aisle that have all said that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. And so what we have said is, enough talking about it. Let's do it. This is the will of the American people. The president wanted to follow through. Presidents Bush, Clinton, and Obama all said they were for it, but never did anything about it. And this president said it's time. And we think this is actually going to help us fastball the peace process going forward.
I've got to tell you, I don't have to tell you that President Trump's decision is being criticized from all corners. Let's just take a quick rundown. Palestinian leader Abbas calls it a declaration of withdrawal from the peace process. British Prime Minister May calls it unhelpful in terms of prospects for peace in the region. Pope Francis expressed profound concern. Question, what are Abbas and May and even the Pope missing?
You know, I mean, leaders understand that courage is important. And we don't do things just to please every other country in the world. We do things to advance the ball. And that's what the president did with this. He said, this is time that we acknowledge reality. It's been 22 years in the making. It was time. And not only that, Chris, it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. Israel should be no different. We didn't set any parameters. We didn't say this was the final status. What we said is we're going to do like we do in every other country, and we're going to put the embassy in its capital, and we're going to continue and are going to continue that fact that we are as committed to the peace process as we've ever been before, and we're going to keep going until we get it.
All right, Nikki Haley. Boy, she has really flourished in that role. It's just been amazing. I love her strength. Just love it. We're not going to listen to other countries about where we put our embassy. We don't have to ask their permission. We're providing leadership. This is the right thing to do. We're going to do it. That's the way things should be. It's just amazing. All right. So if you just tuned in, there's been an explosion during rush hour in New York, probably most likely tied to the president's decision to move our embassy to its rightful place in Jerusalem in Israel. So we'll stay tuned for information on that. Meanwhile, the biggest race, you know, of the year probably is taking place in Alabama, and that is the contest between Judge Roy Moore and Doug Jones, the Democrat. There are 3 points, as I understand it. The best polls seem to say that Justice Moore is 3 points ahead in that race. And, of course, there's an all-out attempt to do everything they can to try to defeat Justice Moore. And it's being positioned, you know, he's being called, a pedophile, a child molester, you fill in the blanks, a Doug Jones record. Hang on with that, because I don't feel that way. I need to hasten. If you just tuned in, I don't think those allegations are true. I think that certainly we saw on Friday when one of the accusers who had accused him of raping her, throwing her out of the car, of trying to rape her. I thought maybe he was trying to rape me. She had this press conference with Gloria Aldred. And now we find out that the inscription on the yearbook that she gave to demonstrate the relationship that she had with Roy Moore and to date the occasion in which he supposedly signed it in this restaurant was forged. The part of it was forged was the restaurant and the date. We also know that the signature with the words DA after it was a signature that was just exactly what was used on divorce documents and legal documents by Judge Moore, and DA were the initials of his assistant that somehow ended up mysteriously on this woman's yearbook. That's why I don't believe the allegations. I don't believe them because I know Justice Moore, and as a matter of fact, he's going to join us right after this break. So stay tuned. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
So what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23, now available in Montana. 855-PSALM-23.
Adam, a historical person. This is Ken Ham, and we built a full-size Noah's Ark attraction south of Cincinnati. Many Christians today claim Adam wasn't a historical person. Instead, they say he was a mythological figure or tribal leader. But a historical Adam, as described in Genesis, is foundational to the gospel. The Apostle Paul makes it clear that because there was a first Adam who literally sinned and brought physical death into creation, we need the last Adam, Jesus Christ. Think about it. If Adam wasn't a historical person, then death isn't the punishment for sin. You see, in an old earth evolutionary view, death has always been part of creation. And if death isn't the consequence for sin, why did Jesus have to come and die a physical death? Yes, Adam was real.
Want to know more about a historical Adam? Go to AnswersRadio.com and subscribe to receive free daily email insights from Ken Ham when you go to AnswersRadio.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Peter Koh, and I'm a business major, and this is my junior year at the college. What I love about the athletics here at Truett McConnell University is the coaches and their side of trying to teach sports from a biblical mindset with sportsmanship involved, and it really changes the way that you pursue the game, not just passionately doing it for other people, but also for yourself and to glorify God in that, which is completely different from most other schools.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today. Community leaders in Buffalo, New York say it's time to take dangerous weapons out of the hands of children. So they want to confiscate Nerf guns and cap guns and other toy weapons. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. The good people of Buffalo are holding a toy gun exchange. One community leader says it's better to give kids something that can make them more productive citizens, like a book or a football. They say the only way to stop gun violence is to teach kids at an early age guns are nothing to play with. The Buffalo Police Department supports the toy gun exchange because, as we all know, there's nothing more dangerous than a bunch of six-year-olds running around the backyard with finger guns playing cops and robbers. It's really sad the anti-gun crowd has to take normal childhood behavior and make it unseemly. I mean, heaven help the poor kid who gets a Red Ryder BB gun for Christmas. I'm Todd Starnes.
Merry Christmas from American Family Radio and Sandy Rios in the Morning. Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Hi, this is President Donald Trump, and I need Alabama to go vote for Roy Moore. It is so important. We're already making America great again. I'm going to make America safer and stronger and better than ever before. But we need that seat. We need Roy voting for us. I'm stopping illegal immigration and crime, rebuilding a stronger military and protecting the Second Amendment and our pro-life values. But if Alabama elects liberal Democrat Doug Jones, all of our progress will be stopped cold. We already know Democrat Doug Jones is a puppet of Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, and he will vote with the Washington liberals every single time. Democrat Jones is soft on crime, weak on immigration, supports abortion. He's bad for our military and bad for our vets. We don't want him. And he also, by the way, wants higher taxes. Roy Moore is the guy we need to pass our Make America Great Again agenda. Roy is a conservative who helped me steer this country back on track after 8 years of the Obama disaster. Get out and vote for Roy Moore. His vote is our Republican Senate, and it's needed. We need Roy to help us with the Republican Senate. We will win, and we will make America great again.
Paid for by Judge Roy Moore for U.S. Senate.
All right, so if you're an Alabama resident, that's what you woke up to this morning, a phone call from the President of the United States. Sandy Rios back with you. The race is a big deal. It's tomorrow. It's Judge Roy Moore and Doug Jones in Alabama. And, of course, so much is at stake with this seat in so many different ways. The Senate is so closely divided. And you would think normally that the Senate leadership would, you know, want a Republican in that seat. And yet we are just learning, this is something I learned just a few days ago, that the Washington Post leak on Judge Roy Moore came not from Democrats, but it came from a McConnell-linked Republican. His name is Tim Miller. He was the co-founder of America Rising PAC. That's one of Karl Rove's PACs. And so they were the instigators of all this, the scandalous information that came out about Judge Roy Moore. You'd think that the Republican leadership would want a Republican to replace Senator Sessions, former Senator Sessions, but not so. They hate Roy Moore enough that they would do anything to get him defeated. It's an interesting race, and you can see the headlines, and I was just looking at various articles this morning. Trump rallies for alleged sex abuser Roy Moore in Florida. That's from the Daily Mail. The Montgomery Advertiser says, days before election, Roy Moore disappears from campaign trail. And then you see the New York Times doing these exposés on Alabama, of course, always inferring that Alabamians are somehow backward, stupid, you know, and so that's how they are. You understand this. And on it goes. And so it's a race we've been watching carefully. I've talked to you about it almost every day because I think it's so important. It's not just important about Republicans holding the Senate. It's important because the crux of this, the deep issue on this, is someone who will stand unapologetically on the moral issues that we face. And I can tell you firsthand that hardly anyone in Washington, I could count them on, let's see, maybe one finger, the number that are willing to take a stand on the moral issues of our day. And that's why they don't want Judge Moore there, because he is immovable, unshakable on those issues. And he is joining us this morning from Alabama and from a very busy campaign schedule, and we appreciate it. Judge Moore, thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Sandy. It's nice to be with you.
It's always good to hear your voice. Judge Moore, I want to repeat your qualifications, if I might, because they're important. You are a West Point graduate. You were a Vietnam veteran. You were a former assistant DA when you came back from Vietnam. You were a Supreme Court justice, and you were elected by the people of Alabama to be their chief justice, not once, but twice, by very huge percentages. Since I've known you, the first time I got to know you was over the Ten Commandments controversy. You were removed from the bench. You lost your job over that issue. That's how strong a stand you took. You could have recused, you could have recanted, as they might say, but you didn't. And so you lost your job. And then once again, you were elected overwhelmingly by the people of Alabama. And then over the issue of same-sex marriage, when the Supreme Court legalized it, you directed your judges to hold off because Alabama had its own law, which you felt was as constitutionally acceptable as the Supreme Court's decision. And you then, again, lost your job. I even remember that they removed your salary, your livelihood, your pension. You've paid a great price for the stands that you've taken. So I'm going to ask you what I asked your wife last week. We know that you've gone through some tremendous attacks for your stands on these issues. How do these current attacks during this Senate race compare this experience this time to those other two?
Well, of course, it's not even on the issues involved in this race. We've been running this race for 9 months, and we've talked about issues through the Republican primary, the Republican runoff, and now 3 weeks before this election, they distort the whole thing into something about my character 40 years ago. It's merely a diversion from the true issues in this case. And the things about the Ten Commandments and standing against same-sex marriage, yes, I did those things because it was legal and right to do those things. And now they want to change the scenario, the conversation, into something else besides the issues in the case. It's just like a Russian investigation, in my opinion, with President Bush or President Trump. They want to change what the issues are, what the people of America want and need in the political conversation.
Well, it's interesting to me, Judge Moore, the thing that you have always held, I think I'll put words in your mouth, that you have held dear is your reputation, your integrity, and your honor.
Right.
And that's the thing that the people of Alabama have seen in you, and that's the reason why, no matter what the world said about you, they reelected you. They didn't care because they knew you. And now this current attack is really strikes at the heart of that. That's harder to defend because it's so wounding, don't you think?
Well, of course it is, and they know what they're doing, and they know how to track the issues in the case, and that's exactly what they're doing. I submit to you that the people of Alabama do know me. They know what I stand for. I've lost my job basically twice over moral issues. When I was a judge, Sandy, and when I was a prosecutor, I prosecuted numerous cases involving sexual abuse and mixed conduct. That was my job. Never once have any of these articles or concepts arisen during that entire 40 years of my public service. It is something just to divert from the true issues of the campaign.
Let me ask you, do you listen to the news or read the papers? Do you do that? I mean, I'm not saying in general ever in your life. I'm talking about in regard to your own campaign.
Yes, I have.
That's hard. I mean, that's really hard. I'm not. If you had called me and asked me what I thought, I would probably tell you not to do that. But that's hard to take.
No, what you're asking, basically, I don't do. I don't look at social media, and I don't read all the articles out of the campaign. I have read articles, of course, but, you know, I know what they're saying, which are true, and I do not concentrate on reading them because they're not true.
Yeah, and listen, I've had my share. Yes, I've had my share of that kind of stuff, and it's just not worth it. I read some of it, and I don't read all of it either because it's discouraging and it distorts your own thinking. Now, let me ask you something that I don't think I've heard you speak of this. You certainly may have. Could you tell us about your staff, the guys that surround you?
The people that surround me are all Christians. They've working very hard in the campaign to get the truth out and to stick to the issues, and they're having to deal with all this false things out of the Washington Post. And as you pointed out, just last week, a new article came out that said the next Jeb Bush staffer admitted to planning the anti-Roy Moore story in the Washington Post. So we know this is coming out of Washington. It's just hard to deal with the you know, national newspapers.
One of the points, I guess, I was making in asking you the question about your staff is I think some of those guys, as I understand it, Judge Moore, have been with you for years, haven't they?
Yes, yes.
So they know you well. That's my point.
Yes, of course. I mean, people on my staff know me well. The people that I work with know me well. They've gotten people all the way back to when I was in Vietnam that know me well. And that's just not anything, you know, I would ever do.
Yeah, that we did actually read the article by your buddy from Vietnam, that beautiful article. I think he's an attorney now in New Jersey, something like that. He vouched for your character and your behavior, and he gave specifics back when you guys were serving together in Vietnam. It was very moving. Let's change this, turn to something else, because here's the other issue that people are discussing. I heard Charles Barkley say last week when he was appearing in Alabama that Judge Moore is a racist because he's allowing Steve Bannon, who is a white nationalist, to campaign for him. I'd love to hear your response to that.
A white nationalist is campaigning for me. I don't know any white nationalist that's campaigning for me. Charles Barkley hadn't liked me for many years. He's criticized me over the years a number of times. Somebody needs to go look at his past if they want to find the truth. But, you know, I don't know Charles Barkley, never met him, and this issue of racism is completely ridiculous. I'm not a racist. I don't stand against people because of the color of their skin. I believe that our founding documents quite clearly point out that God made us all equal and created us in his own image. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, among these are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. I hold that dear in my philosophy, and it's part of our government.
What is your history with black voters? I mean, obviously you've been elected to multiple offices in Alabama by people of all stripes, but I just, what has been your history with black Alabamians?
Well, I have a great amount of support in the black community. Saran Stacy was an ex-Alabama running back and was a great height. It was in the race for Heisman Trophy in the year that he played at Alabama. Has strongly supported me, been in many of my campaigns. In fact, has been a coordinator and has spoken many times on my behalf.
You know, this is the day before the election. I guess I don't need to remind you. A couple of questions. What is it? What would be the nut of what you'd want to communicate to the people of Alabama today? Because a lot of people are listening from the state of Alabama as we broadcast nationally. What would you say to them, Judge Moore?
Well, I'd say this race is about issues. It's about whether we go forward in this country or we continue to let the Washington establishment control our destiny. And can the people in Washington dictate the people of Alabama who their senator is? I say no, and they should not. I don't believe the people of Alabama will let them. I know that the people of Alabama know me over 40 years. What I've done, I've lost office over moral issues, and they know this is not anything that's true that's been alleged against me.
You know, there, Senator Shelby certainly knifed you in the last couple of days, talking about how he didn't vote for you. He did a write-in candidate. And there's much discussion of when you get to Washington, there's going to be an ethics probe in the Senate. How do you feel about that? Are you happy about that or apprehensive about it?
They can probe all they want. It's up to the people of Alabama, and they know it. And, you know, just because they're part of the Washington establishment, it's expected that they're going to oppose me in every way they can. They did so with $30 million in the primary. And their candidate did not get elected, and they're very upset about that, and they're striking back.
You know what's interesting, Judge? They actually spent all their money, the Republican committee, Senate committee for campaigns, spent all their money, and a news story came out last week that they were actually stealing data from the House database on giving. Because they had spent all their money. They spent more than they brought in. And I'm thinking, well, I know where they spent it. They spent it in Alabama. Tonight you have a rally with Steve Bannon. And where is that going to be? And what do you anticipate for tonight?
It's going to be down in South Alabama near Dothan. It's in another town location, but it's near Dothan. And it's going to be quite big. Steve Bannon will be there. Other people will be there. We'll talk about the issues and the last-minute push to the election tomorrow.
I'm curious, you know, I keep hearing that you're 3 points ahead, and they're talking about within the margin of error. What are you guys hearing? Can you say what you are hearing with your internal polls?
Our internal polls indicate that we're about 8 points ahead, if not more, and it's growing.
All right, so
and that upsets me to no degree. That upsets my opponents.
Yes, I would say so. Yeah, so the election is tomorrow for the people of Alabama and this Senate race. And then if you are elected, what would the timeline be? When would you go to Washington?
Well, it has to be certified through the state. That's up to 10 days. They have to do that. And then it has to be sent to the governor and secretary of state. It takes a while, so it'll be the first part of January before that process is complete. And you can't be certified until it reaches the United States Senate. And then I'll be going up.
All right. So, you know, that I remember when Ted Cruz was elected, when he ran for office. I know this well, Judge Moore. He was absolutely shunned. I've mentioned that on the air before. They wouldn't even sit with him in the Senate dining hall. So you know that you're going to be in for a hard path. I guess you and Ted Cruz can sit together in the Senate dining hall now, don't you think?
I reckon then, you know, I've been in such situations before, and it always affects you, of course, but it doesn't prevent you from doing your duty.
No, and what your duty, if you, we only have a minute longer, if you, when you get into the Senate, what's the very first thing that you would like to accomplish?
Well, I'd like to, you know, get settled, get my office staff working, and get, there's a lot of things to do administratively in becoming a senator. And I have to do those things as far as issues. I'll take up whatever issues are on the floor, and I'll attack those issues that are not on the floor, such as the 60-vote rule. I think it needs to be eliminated. I think it's unconstitutional, and I'll stand against it.
All right, Judge Roy Moore, tomorrow's the big day, and so the people of Alabama will be going to the polls and making their choice. It's an honor to talk to you, sir, and we look forward to seeing what's going to happen tomorrow. Thank you so much for joining me.
Well, thank you, Sandy. It's nice to be with you.
Okay, talk to you soon. All right, Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. Congressman Trent Franks wrote a piece saying the Senate must end the tyranny of the minority and bypass the filibuster. History proves the Democrats created the mechanism called Rule 22, the motion to invoke cloture that allowed them to control the Senate. This rule, which isn't in the Constitution, allowed Southern Democrats to block civil rights legislation in the past and allows Democrats to impede President Trump's legislative agenda now. What will it take for Republicans to get tired of being outmaneuvered by Democrats? The future of the Republic depends on the answer.
Listen to the Hamilton Corner, weekdays from 5 to 6 p.m. Central on AFR. For more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
With all the trees and toys, the sales and spending, our society is forgetting that Christmas is about Christ. So far, over 200,000 Keep Christ in Christmas wristbands have been distributed. But let's do more. Call now at 877-927-4917 or visit afastore.net and order a 10-pack or more of Keep Christ in Christmas wristbands. It's a fun and easy way of sharing this important reminder. And let's keep Christ in Christmas with the American Family Association.
Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
folks, I know what you think. I want to be able to get my money. I'm not giving my money to anybody. I'm not giving it to the church, not giving it to the ministry. I'm hoarding it, I'm keeping it, I'm going to build. And when it gets so big, I'll build another silo, and I'll build another silo after that. And I'm just going to keep growing it, because when I retire, I'm going to have more money and I know what to do with. But look, it's important that you consider permanent income. The key word is charitable gift annuity. You notice I don't say charitable annuity. I never leave the word gift out. It's a gift.
A knowledgeable AFA Foundation representative will gladly explain the nuances of charitable gift annuities and answer your questions. Find out about charitable gift annuities when you call 800-326-4543, extension 345. 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or by visiting afafoundation.net.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. The Islamists and their enablers in foreign policy establishments around the world insist that the Palestinian conflict with Israel is of paramount importance to peace in the Middle East. They are denouncing President Trump and in some cases violently protesting over his moving the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem. Here's a reality check. The U.S. intelligence community reportedly believes Iran has bought and taken delivery of 3 nuclear weapons and a dirty bomb from North Korea. If true, it's the predictable result of allowing the regime in Pyongyang to get away with developing and acquiring such weapons and giving $150 billion to the Iranian mullahs to buy them. Think that's not a surpassingly serious problem? Think again. Mr. Trump was right to recognize the reality of Israel's capital, but we better focus on the reality of not one, but 2 nuclear-armed pariah states. This is Frank Affney.
Merry Christmas from American Family Radio and Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Write that song, George Friedrich Handel, because it's a savior. Hallelujah. What else can you say? There is a savior for this world, a redeemer, one that will set the record straight, will make the wrong right, will seek justice, real justice in every single area. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Everlasting God, the Prince of Peace. And so that's why we celebrate, and that's why we love Christmas, because it's a reminder of those, that wonderful bit of good news. And let me just say, there's some good news out of this bombing situation in New York. I just got a, if you're paying attention, there was an explosion near a subway station in New York during rush hour, and so people were pretty worried about that, but they have arrested the would-be suicide bomber. He had wires attached to him. He was armed with a pipe bomb and a battery pack, which he did not, was not able to let loose. They don't have a name on this, but he's in Bellevue Hospital. They don't have the identity, of course. It'll probably be, let's see, somebody from, let's see, the Tea Party or AFA. You know, it'll be one of those. They'll choose somebody, but if he has, yeah, if his name is John Smith, he'll be a right-wing radical and who are just as bad as the Islamists, right? So anyway, we'll wait for the name on that. Yes, I won't make any assumptions, but I might make a few, given what I said earlier about the president's announcement on the Capitol being moved to Jerusalem, the embassy being moved. We kind of know that tensions are high, and we know who might be bombing New York right now, so we'll find out what his name is later. I want to, in regard to Judge Moore just being with us, I want to tell you that Congress, of course, All these retirements suddenly are coming, and it's pretty amazing. You know, John Conyers decided he would resign, the allegations against him. These are situations where money has been paid out. These are not like women coming out randomly saying whatever they want to say. These are, in the case of Conyers, things that have been settled and paid for, the accusations by the women. Conyers never admitted to anything, but they're pretty icky situations, and multiple thousands of dollars were paid to these women. And then in the case of Al Franken, He resigned. The women, the Democratic women in Congress, in the Senate, pressured him to resign, and he did. I don't know if he did it because of them. I don't know. I'm hearing that the allegations against Franken, look, the ones that we know about are not as egregious as the ones we know about Conyers. So I don't really know how to feel about Al Franken. I think certainly in all of their cases, even if you don't like them, if they haven't been verified, these stories, we shouldn't be believing them or embracing them. Unless a person, like it'd be hard to, if someone came out with an allegation against Bill Clinton, it would be hard not to believe them because we know his past and his history. But you can't jump to the conclusion. I'm not of the camp that thinks all women tell the truth and all men lie. Just not there. Because I kind of think all people are sinners, including men and women, and all colors of people are sinners as well. So I don't know about Al Franken, why he resigned unless he knew worse things were going to happen. I don't know. He's not very well liked in the Senate. People just don't like him. So I would say that Conyers, you know, is what, 88? That's not a great loss for the Democrats to have Conyers go. And Franken is not a great loss because he probably would have been defeated next time around. He's not likable. People don't like him. So that was kind of a win for the Democrats. They will replace Franken. They will replace Conyers with good, solid liberals, leftists who will carry on for years beyond when those gentlemen could. Trent Franks stepped down on Friday. That was kind of a shock. And Trent is, of course, a real champion in the House Freedom Caucus. And the allegations against him are really odd. It says basically two former staffers said that he talked to them about serving as a pregnancy surrogate for his infertile wife and him. Now, pregnancy surrogate doesn't mean anything. It's all happens in a test tube. So it isn't anything sexual unless they didn't know, unless they were too dumb to know that. Or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Congressman Franks, maybe he made it seem, I don't know. But that's not the same thing as the accusations against John Conyers, which I don't like to go into detail about those things because they're sorted. But the allegations against Trent Franks are not sorted. They just aren't. And they're just exactly what I said. Two former staffers, he allegedly talked to them about serving as a pregnancy surrogate for his infertile wife. That has nothing to do with sex of any kind. It happens in a test tube. So I don't understand that. It's a great loss to conservatives for Trent Franks to step aside. And there was sort of a may still be. I don't think so. Trent resigned immediately and stepped aside. So I don't think there's any chance of restoring him to that seat. I don't know. But many people wish that he'd stayed to fight. But my understanding from people inside the bubble is that in Congress, the committees that do these investigations they're horrendous. You have no defense. Accusations can be anonymous. They end up destroying your reputation. It's not like a court of law as we understand it. It isn't like that. And so that there's a great amount of fear among congressmen about what they might do when you're under a congressional investigation like that. It isn't what you think. It's not like they're actually trying to get to the truth. Most of the time, it seems they're trying to destroy people. And so that may be why Trent Franks stepped aside. I don't know. My understanding is there will be something like 40 more of these congressmen that will be outed before this is over. And so I think if there are real misdeeds and if money was paid out, I think that we should hear their names. But if these are just false or anonymous accusations, we can't have just people's lives destroyed for nothing. And I would put Al Franken in that category. There's a picture of him, you know, a lewd picture of him, but he's joking. I would think that if he is blameless, if he really hasn't done anything, that there should be an investigation that would sort of clear him or find him guilty. That's what we need. We need some entity that's honest about these things. But that's what's happening in the House and the Senate. And you'll notice the Senate went really silent on Roy Moore, the Senate leadership, after this whole sexual misdeeds on Capitol Hill began to be exposed. And I think there's a reason for that. I think some of the names that you're hearing who were the loudest against Judge Moore may be on those lists. That's what I think. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. All right, Trent. No, not Trent, but Jim Jordan, who's a champion to many of us. Jim is just a bulldog. He's also in the Freedom Caucus, of course. Many people wanted Jim to run for a Speaker of the House, so we'll see. Maybe eventually he will. Wouldn't that be something? But he was interviewing current FBI Director Christopher Wray, the new appointee by President Trump. People wondering, well, just how good is he? What is he? What does he stand for? Well, we saw a little bit of who Christopher Wray was and how he responded to Congressman Jim Jordan. Let's listen. Clip six.
Director, was Agent Peter Strzok the former deputy head of counterintelligence at the FBI?
I don't remember his exact title, but I believe that's correct.
And he's the same Peter Strzok who was a key player in the Clinton investigation, the same Peter Strzok who interviewed Cheryl Mills, Huma Abedin, participated in the Clinton Secretary Clinton's interview. And he's also the same Peter Strzok who, now we know, changed Director Comey's exoneration letter, changed the term gross negligence, which is a crime, to extreme carelessness. Is that the same guy?
Well, Congressman, I don't know every step that the individual you mentioned was involved in, but certainly I know that he was heavily involved in the Clinton
and he,
email investigation.
Thank you. And is this the same Peter Strzok who helped was a key player in the Russian investigation, and the same Peter Strzok who was put on Mueller's team, Special Counsel Bob Mueller's team?
I certainly know that he was working on the special counsel's investigation. Whether or not he would be characterized as a key player on that investigation, that's really not for me to say.
And the same Peter Strzok that we learned this past weekend was removed from the special counsel team because he exchanged text messages with a colleague at the FBI that were displayed a pro-Clinton bias. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Talk about the same guy. Okay.
Yes.
All right, that's the first part. That's the way it starts. I know Christopher Wray won't even say Peter Strzok's name. We know that Peter Strzok now, the FBI agent, was intricately involved in almost every area. He was the agent that received the dossier, the phony fake dossier that the DNC and the Hillary Trump campaign paid for, that we think the FBI partially paid for, that we think the FBI probably used to go into the FISA court to get permission based on lies to surveil members of the Trump team, like Michael Flynn. It's just so dirty. All right, so Jim Jordan goes on with his interview of Christopher Wray. Let's listen.
Here's what I'm not getting. Peter Strzok is selected to be on Mueller's team after all this history, put on Mueller's team, and then he's removed for some pro-Clinton text messages. I mean, there are all kinds of people on Mueller's team who are pro-Clinton. There's been all kinds of stories. PolitiFact reported 96% of the top lawyers' contributions went to Clinton or Obama. But Peter Strzok, the guy who ran the Clinton investigation, interviewed Mills, Abedin, interviewed Secretary Clinton, changed gross negligence, a crime, to the term extreme carelessness, who ran the Russian investigation, who interviewed Mike Flynn, gets put on Mueller's team, and then he gets kicked off for a text message that's anti-Trump. If he kicked everybody off Mueller's team who was anti-Trump, I don't think there'd be anybody left. So here there's got to be something more here. It can't just be some text messages that show a pro-Clinton, anti-Trump bias. There's got to be something more. And I'm trying to figure out what it is. But my hunch is it has something to do with the dossier. Director, did Peter Strzok help produce and present the application to the FISA court to secure a warrant to spy on Americans associated with the Trump campaign?
Congressman, I'm not prepared to discuss anything about a FISA process in this setting.
We're not talking about what happened in the court. We're talking about what the FBI took to the court, the application. Did Peter Strzok, was he involved in taking that to the court?
I'm not going to discuss in this setting anything to do with the FISA court applications.
All right, so that's Christopher Wray responding to Congressman Jim Jordan. And you may recall that when I interviewed Christian Adams last Thursday, I asked Christian the very same question. I said, allegedly Strzok was taken off Mueller's investigation because he wrote email to his lover, who was the attorney working with Andrew McCabe, who we've discussed at length, connected to the Democrats, his wife, a Democratic candidate, taking $700,000 from Terry McAuliffe to run with McCabe not claiming that information on his income sources or his wife's income, with him claiming that he did not break the Hatch Act by campaigning for his wife, which we know that he did. We see things online. So here is the wife, the girlfriend of this other member of the FBI, the lover, the person he's having an affair with. He's writing email back and forth to her, and he's allegedly removed from the team because he's writing pro or anti-Trump email. Well, that is ridiculous. And as I asked Christian last week, look, almost all the attorneys that Mueller's hiring were pro-Hillary or pro-Obama. They give thousands of dollars to those campaigns. There's no one on his team that I know of that was pro-Trump. And so why would it be a big deal, such a big deal, that this FBI agent would be sending anti-Trump texts? And so this is exactly what Jim Jordan is asking Christopher Wray about it. And then Jim goes on and he puts on the record what he thinks actually happened. Let's listen to clip 8.
Well, let's remember a couple things, Director. And I know you know this. We've all been made aware of this in the last few weeks. Let's remember a couple things about the dossier. The Democrat National Committee and the Clinton campaign, which we now know were one and the same, paid the law firm, who paid Fusion GPS, who paid Christopher Steele, who then paid Russians, to put together a report that we call a dossier full of all kinds of fake news, National Enquirer garbage. And it's been reported that this dossier was all dressed up by the FBI, taken to the FISA court, and presented as a legitimate intelligence document, that it became the basis for granting a warrant to spy on Americans. And I'm wondering if that actually took place. It sure looks like it did. And the easiest way to clear it up is for you guys to tell us what was in that application and who took it there.
Congressman, our staffs have been having extensive interaction with both intelligence committees on our interaction with the FISA court, and I think that's the appropriate setting for those questions.
Here's what I think, Director Wray. I think Peter Strzok, head of counterintelligence at the FBI, Peter Strzok, the guy who ran the Clinton investigation, did all the interviews, Peter Strzok, the guy who was running the Russian investigation at the FBI, Peter Strzok, Mr. Super Agent at the FBI, I think he's the guy who took the application to the FISA court. And if that happened, I mean, think if this happened, if you had the FBI working with a campaign, the Democrats' campaign, taking opposition research, dressing it all up and turning it into an intelligence document and taking it to the FISA court so they could spy on the other campaign, if that happened, that is as wrong as it gets.
And I'll tell you what I think. I think Jim Jordan is not just guessing out loud in a committee hearing. I think he has information that's exactly what happened, and he's trying to get the FBI director to admit it. But the FBI director won't. In fact, Jordan goes on to say, you can clear this up. Is there anything prohibiting you from showing us FISA court submission? And just then they run out of time, and Chairman Goodlatte steps in and affirms what Jim Jordan is saying, that the FBI answers to this committee, the Judiciary Committee in the House. You are under our supervision. You can answer these questions. You are not immune from answering these questions to this committee. You can do it behind closed doors, but we are your overseers. You don't have a right to say, this is not appropriate. Lecturing the committee on what's appropriate. Congressmen trump FBI agents. They trump FBI directors. And so it's just amazing. And by the way, there's more to say about this, but the U.S. District Court Judge Rudolph Contreras has recused himself from hearing Mike Flynn's case. And why does that relate to what I'm talking about? Because we are hearing that we think it might have been this judge that was the judge in the FISA court that this FBI agent went into to present the fake dossier in order to get permission to surveil Michael Flynn. I don't know if you followed that, but you can bet I'll repeat it tomorrow. It's just so thick with collusion and not on the part of President Trump and the Russians. It's just an amazing story. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.